expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Generation to generation, it gets passed on.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here embracing aging every Wednesday live at 9 a.m. right here on KCNR 1460. You can give us a call at 605-4567 to join us in to comment on the show with any questions or comments, or you can join us in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at generationstalkradio.com. My guest in studio today is Candace Barker with Sojourn Hospice. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
So we are here today to talk about adult children supporting their aging loved ones and a lot of those dynamics. Candace is a master of social work at Sojourn Hospice here in Reading. So you deal with a lot of these families, end of life, and all those dynamics that are going on.
Yes, I do.
And we actually ran into each other at a social event last week and got to talking about this. And I said, you need to come on the radio with me because I think that sometimes I feel like a social worker. I'm getting on-the-job training because at the end of the day, the dynamics amongst the adult children many times impact the care we can provide, and therefore we're trying to help them work through some of that. Before we dive into all of that, tell us a little bit about your education and what led you to this career.
Well, long story short, my childhood actually ushered me into this line of work, and my mother lived in a skilled nursing facility in the last months of her life, and so I ended up studying child development and family relations in my undergrad. And then during my undergrad, I realized that I really wanted to open some more doors for myself and started studying into the direction of social work. And then after my undergrad, I got a job at Oak River in Anderson. And between Oak River and Copper Ridge, I earned my master's degree. So I worked in those two facilities for about 6 or 7 years, and then 2 weeks before I graduated with my master's, I got a job in hospice. So everything's just kind of lined up for me, mm-hmm. and I'm really very, very fortunate.
So when you were in the skilled nursing side, mm-hmm. Were you kind of dealing with families as far as helping with discharge plans and figuring out that kind of course for them?
So it was nice. I actually had a nice balance between long-term care and discharge planning. So the dynamic is a little bit different there because when you are caring for people who live in a facility and you're dealing with the grief process for the children who are sometimes very sad that they can't be the primary caretakers for their loved mm-hmm. one, that you're giving them a lot of validation and support that they are doing the right thing and caring for themselves and that it is a team effort, that you don't get through this alone.
And I think the great adult kids, nobody would go, hey, I think it's time to put mom in long-term care, skilled nursing. No one looks forward to that. But there are situations where it's really unavoidable. Financial constraints, you know, physical needs that mm-hmm. people aren't able to meet. I mean, I have had clients, you know, mom's 100, the adult child is in their late 70s, early 80s.
Correct.
And they're not in a position to physically lift mom and bathe mom and do the
right.
care that mom needs. And so there are agencies can't come in the home and lift them either. And so there's a lot there. And I understand this really, you know, when I opened, I thought, you know, there's no reason why someone ever needs to end up, you know, in long-term skilled care. But the challenge is there are times when that's really the appropriate placement.
Yes.
For their safety and for the loved one's safety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it becomes an extension of the family. So in skilled nursing facilities, we have care conferences, and you sit down with the social workers and the nurses, and you go over the care plans and what the daily routine looks like and how we can best support the patient while mm-hmm. they're living in their alternate home.
Right. Do you feel like one of the reasons I started this show is I see like such a lack of knowledge sometimes with the adult children when it comes to aging and resources and understanding, you know, all the dynamics of that, what Medicare covers, what their parents, not just their diagnosis, but their prognosis, you know,
yes.
All of this information, which is why I started the show, is like that it's hard enough when you're in a difficult scenario, but then on top of it, you're not educated. Did you come up, did you see that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so then there's that time constraint. I mean, especially with these adult children who are working and trying to balance, you know, being sandwiched between raising their kids and sometimes their grandchildren and caring for a loved one or supporting a loved one that lives in an alternative living arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little bit of research and want to present that as sometimes from an expert perspective, because that goes into the grief process of wanting to know and wanting to have an impact as much as possible when it really is a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that a lot of these adult children are just really not prepared, and part of that also is the communication back and forth. And this is one of the things I pound this drum all the time on the show is like, ask your parents what they want. Tell your children what you want on both sides of it, and even use this show as an example. Hey, I listened to this gal on the radio, and because I'll tell you, when you're in front of Candace or I in one of these scenarios, there's nothing worse than needing to make a decision and then second-guessing the decision that you're making
Right. Because
you haven't had that conversation.
Right.
And the adult children, as you know, this generation is very private.
Yes.
So they want to be protecting.
Yes.
But it will be their children's decision. They will be, generally speaking, one of those kids is power of attorney. One of those kids is going to have to step in. So you're really not protecting. You're really burdening.
Yes.
And I know that that's a strong word, but it is the truth. You know,
yes.
These kids, mom had a stroke. I'm trying to help her on top of it. I don't know where her money is. I don't know what her bank account is. I'm not on it. I can't help her pay for any of her bills. I'm trying to just deal with this one issue, but there's like 10 other things that had I known this information, I could have helped her more.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's beautiful about advanced directives and the five wishes, we'll go into that mm-hmm. a little bit later, that really impacts the grief process for family members. And when I can say you are honoring the wishes that they outlined for you to follow, and that makes things a lot easier for them to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about
yeah.
that.
Because I think that, like you say, we end up kind of second guessing, and when it is in writing and there has been a conversation and you have been communicating, you're absolutely doing what was, even if it's not what you would have wanted to do for you, you know your parent wanted this for themselves. And we do bring our own stuff into that
mm-hmm.
sometimes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back with Candace, we're going to talk more about what led her to hospice and some of the challenges we've seen amongst the adult children in those scenarios. And if you have any questions or you're dealing with any sibling issues, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567, and we'll do our best to help you out. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank. And I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation. 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am Sharon Clark, your host, where we are here every Wednesday, Embracing Aging. I want to remind everybody that next Friday, May 11th, we will be hosting the Healthy Aging Fair. I am representing the Older Adult Policy Council on the committee for this event. And it's, again, Friday, May 11th from 9 to 1 inside the Mount Shasta Mall right in front of JCPenney. We have a bunch of amazing vendors and resources available for seniors and their caregivers and families. So come on by from 9 to 11. We're going to have Adult Protective Services will be there, Medicare advocacy, assisted living, home health care, adult daycare programs, rehabilitation centers, senior nutrition, caregiver resources, financial services, legal services. So this is one of the things that Candace and I mentioned in the last segment is educating yourself on the resources available, on the decisions that need to be made before crisis mode. So this is a great way to do that. We're going to have some free health screenings, passports and prize drawings. Trish Clark and I will be there from 7 to 10 in the morning doing a live remote with Bob as our producer from the JCPenney Court in the Mount Shasta Mall. So there's going to be lots of fun things going on. Again, that's Friday, May 11th, next Friday from 9 to 1, right outside JCPenney in the court there. So come on by and learn more about all the amazing resources we have here in Shasta County. My guest this morning is Candace Barker, an MSW with Sojourn Hospice, and we've just been talking about social work and our roles a lot of times in helping families navigate their loved one aging and passing away. And Candace, one of the challenges that I run into is, and this is my belief system, and I'm a social worker like with life experience, not education. So you can tell me what you think of my belief system, but I think a lot of times, and I went through this with my mom dying very suddenly, she had a lot of addiction issues when I was growing up. And I think as an adult child, there's a part of us that is waiting to make that connection with the parent. We're waiting for that approval. We're waiting for that closure, if you will, to feel loved and to feel validated. And we think we have all this time. And so we get into our lives. We know we don't have the relationship we want. But you never quit wanting that. There's a little part of you that always wants that. That's that little girl that didn't get it. And I know when my mom passed away, I grieved the mother I had, and I grieved the mother I was never going to have. And I really connect a lot with some of these adult kids now that are mm-hmm. are having a parent pass away, and I see them realizing. And my mom died so suddenly; it wasn't something that I could even process at the time, but. I see them panicking and realizing that that day's never going to come. And sometimes that fear, that realization, they can't communicate that. So it comes out with this kid was treated better than me. Mm-hmm. I want the car. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these other mm-hmm. issues come up. Do you see that?
Unproductive grief processes. Yes. What you're talking about, I fully resonate with, and I've seen it many, many times, both for myself and for other people. I think one of the reasons that I've stayed in social work is because there is a way through. And every family member is going to grieve differently because of that relationship that you had with the person. And the disease process, you know, having somebody pass suddenly is a different experience than someone who has been living with a chronic disease or a longstanding addiction issue. So that impacts the relationship, obviously, that you had with them. And when we go back to realizing that you're not going to have the relationship that you wanted, that going through those stages of grief, and grief is an interesting thing. We like to think that it can be linear and understandable, and it's not. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, depending on the type of the relationship that you had with the person, it is going to impact where you enter the grief process. Mm-hmm. Some people may never get to anger. Some people stay in anger, mm-hmm. which is typically somewhere in the middle with in the grief process. So it is one of the most unproductive stages of the grief process, because we want to bargain with ourselves and say, well, we can find other outlets to support our healing process. And so for some of us, our friends become our family. Mm-hmm. And we align ourselves with people that give us what it is that we felt that we needed from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's an appropriate route to go.
Right.
Because not every parent can give you that.
Absolutely. And I believe we have a caller. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Yes. Well, I fit in the category. My sister probably feels like she has been abandoned by her mother, who lives in Reading in an assisted living situation. And my sister will not see her or visit her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she's been felt abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's going to pass, and my sister's not going to, she's going to be guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
I am the other party, which I am full onto my mom here, everything that needs to be done. I'm right here right now. Going to take her to the doctor. But she's living here where she's got a year left of money for this place here, which she'll have to move on to skilled nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it's very hard to get in there. And so I'm in a dilemma, which, what do I do? Do I take her out of here and try to get her into skilled nursing, there's people waiting on lists to get into these places now.
Yes.
And I'm in my 70s, my husband and I, we haven't got a house big enough to have her live with us. My sister will not take her. She said she'll never let her live with her. And so we're,
You're stuck.
You were just talking about.
Absolutely. You're a good example of kind of what's going on for people.
And I, I've had to pick up, and bite the bullet and go, and do what I had to do,
Yeah.
Although my sister accuses me of stealing money from her and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And taking her over, which I'm not. I want the family to be
right
there with it.
Right.
She's 93 and 1 year left of money.
Wow.
So if she's still here a year from now, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been told by one person to try to get her into the skilled nursing now.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I can, you'll pay $8,000 a month, whatever that, it's enormous. Her money will be spent down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll be in a place.
Right.
And if it wait till it's too late, she's nowhere.
Well, fortunately, there are some options, and I think that, first off, thank you for calling, Barbara. Your scenario is not a standalone. And it takes a lot of courage to call in and say, this is what I'm dealing with. The other part is, and I'll give you our agency number, and we can talk about some of the resources that may be available.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
You're not alone. So okay. Do you have a pen?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The number is 855-472-3892. And if you call between 8 and 5, there'll be someone in the office that can take your number, and they'll shoot the message my way.
Okay, because this is what I need. I need counseling. I need help. Like, you know, what am I going to do? And
yes.
Do it, and don't wait till the last minute till it's all on my lap, you know.
Right.
Well, and there's
right.
time here, and so and this is the great thing.
If I talk to my mother about it, I can't do it because she says, well, I'm just going to die. Then I'll just die.
Right.
That'll
yes.
solve everybody's problem. I'll just die.
Yeah. Yeah, she's
so
not someone that you can reason with about this at this point.
Yeah, I mean, she's going into dementia. Her hearing's getting bad, and she's slipping
yeah.
into dementia. She was on hospice but got better, didn't get progressively worse, so they took her off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's at Lavender Hills. I'll tell you where she's at, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
It is a wonderful place.
But
it's
you
beautiful.
Have to have money after a while.
Your
money
right. Mm-hmm. Well, Barbara, mm-hmm. definitely give Candace a call. Leave a message for
okay.
her, and
I
she can
that.
Help you
and
out with
thank
this.
Thank you for your radio program. Oh. I've enjoyed lots of things, you know, when I can listen to it. I
great.
Really
thanks for calling.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's a good, I mean, I've heard that story. Unfortunately, that's not an uncommon situation.
Right, right.
There's a lot of information there. We've got a sibling who isn't connecting, mm-hmm. who's stepped back, but mm-hmm. also making it tough on the sibling who's stepping forward.
Right.
We've got a lady outliving her money.
Yes.
Which is something we're running into a lot more in the world.
Yes.
We've got a daughter who has so much respect for her mother. She wants to engage her and have her be part of the process, but mom's not really in a place that she can do that anymore. And realizing that you're on your own to make these decisions. Lots of stuff going on in that call, huh?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, I hope you can help her.
Me too.
Yeah. Can we take a quick break, Bob? We're at a good spot to stop. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to kind of digest that a little bit. And I have some other family scenarios I've been in I want to talk about, as well as the five wishes. So we'll chat more about that stuff after we take this break. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous Mother's Day brunch May 13th at Wind River Resort and Casino. This Mother's Day brunch will be in the main ballroom from 10 to 3. Call 243-3377 for reservations. On this special occasion, there will be Pat Karch on piano, Bruce Kalin on bass, Dan Kinkle on drums, and Joe Larson on trombone. Bring your mom for fun music and food with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Wind River Resort and Casino. This Mother's Day, May 13th.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, What's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My guest this morning is Candace Barker, an MSW with Sojourn Hospice. That's a Master's of Social Work. And we're just chatting about family dynamics, sibling dynamics, everything that goes along with your aging loved one. So, Candace, I haven't told her this, so I'm going to give you the worst call I've ever received. Okay?
Great.
The hardest call I've ever received from an adult child. So we had this gentleman probably 3 or 4 years ago who we're providing hospice care for. There's adult children. There's three daughters. No one's coming around. I don't meet any of them. Now, I've learned a long time ago that I never judge the adult children. There's a lot of history that happens before we get there, and I've heard some horror stories about alcoholic parents and this and that and the other. And so I respect that people can be a part of the situation however they feel. So he's maybe a week away from passing or less, and I get a call in my office one day from one of these adult daughters, and I'm in the middle of my workday, you know, it's a crazy life of home care, and I get this call, and she says, you know, you probably have wondered why none of us have been there, but I know he's close to passing, but he molested all three of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling you because I want to know, should I come? And I'm like, this is blowing my mind because I'm thinking to myself, I'm not really equipped to help this lady. This is, you know, my head is reeling. And I kind of took a second and I said, first of all, your dad is safe and comfortable. He's not asking for anybody. We're providing great care for him. I said, woman to woman, I think your dad tore up his parent card. If you want to come, come for you. But he's fine. You need to make that decision about what you think you need at this point. And she thanked me and hung up, and none of those girls came. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably run into this. Mm-hmm. And how do you help these adult children, whether it's a maybe physical abuse or whatever abuse they've suffered, they're reconciling that with this person dying. Should they show up? Are they a bad person if they don't show up? How do you kind of handle that with them?
Well, validation, number one, and you did that with her. And thank you for that. People need validation that what happened to them was real. And that, especially in that kind of a scenario, reclaiming your life and saying that happened and it never is going to happen again, and I'm going to prevent that from happening mm-hmm. again. The death and dying process opens up a lot of wounds for a lot of people, and you really have to be able to say that I have a support system and a network of friends that I can fall back on when these kinds of questions come up. Now, one of the reasons why I really appreciate private caregiving organizations or professional caregivers in skilled nursing or assisted living is because they don't have all of that history, and they can still provide quality care to people,
mm-hmm.
Compassionate care, because we all need that. But when that card, like you mentioned, has been torn and a person has to make a decision as far as what is best for them, they need to have that that right as well, to be able to say, he's fine and I'm good. I don't need to go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why we have memorial services or urns or plots for people who are deceased is so that when you are ready, in whatever form that looks like, you can go and visit after the fact. It doesn't have to happen in person. And it doesn't mean that you don't care. It just means that you have to do what's best for you.
Yeah, you weren't ready.
You weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't going to make a whole lot of difference in the life of the ill person, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
And I think she was looking to feel validated and excused
yes.
for not coming.
Yes.
You know, because she's thinking, what are they thinking of me, that we yes. were these horrible daughters?
Well, there are lots of projections that mm-hmm. Keep that anxiety running in a person's head. And I think that when you are in the position to say, like, do what's best for you, he's going to be okay. The care that we're providing is quality. And I want you to know that you can do whatever it is that is necessary for you. And walk that line.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I think, you know, at the same time, I had a scenario once where mom's on hospice. She confides to the two adult children that she had another daughter that she'd never met.
Mm-hmm.
They found that daughter. It gives me chills to think about it. They found that daughter for her. They brought that daughter into the home. Mom got to have a conversation with her about
Beautiful.
Why she couldn't keep her
mm-hmm.
and, you
mm-hmm.
know, hear that this woman had a good life.
Yes.
And then when she passed away, there was one, you know, sister and then this older daughter, the adopted daughter, they took a road trip in the convertible and took mom's ashes down to L.A. together and spread them in the ocean. And she called me to tell me that she and her sister took this road trip with mom. And then, you know, you have these crazy stories that are sad and hurtful and awful
yes.
of childhoods and what people are working
yes.
through. And then I also want to share that kind of story because I get to witness, and so do you,
right.
amazing connections with
right.
siblings, and that those two adult children could put aside whatever
mm-hmm.
insecurities they might have had. Whatever, you know, they didn't judge mom for keeping that secret
right.
all these years. They were able to help her.
Yes.
And this amazing adopted daughter
yes.
before her mom passed away got to meet her and have this connection. And so that's one of the most amazing ones I've ever had.
I think that's a testament to the quality of relationships. And we know that people share information or they ask questions when they're ready for the answers. And at end of life, you hear a lot of those scenarios coming up to the surface because there is that existential crisis that people are experiencing. We all have unfinished business, and there's unfinished business, especially at the end of life, for the person that is grieving. Now, I'm not saying that everybody gets what they want, but those daughters, they really stepped in and had enough like respect and admiration for their mother to connect those dots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that no medication, no environment can produce. So when you are in the position of easing somebody's pain, you can take a step back and say, look, I'm going to do this because it's within my power to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's pretty overwhelming.
It is. And,
pretty overwhelming.
And you're right. Like when I had my grandmother on hospice, you know, like I mentioned earlier, my mother had an addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
She died of a prescription drug overdose when I was 40. Having my grandmother in my home, which is her mom,
mm-hmm.
my maternal grandmother, there was a lot of healing to that for her and for my sister and I, because
yes.
we didn't get to escort our mother across the threshold with grace and dignity. We didn't get that relationship with her. My grandmother missed that with her daughter.
Right.
the relationship she wanted. And so these generations, my grandmother and my sister and I, had some really interesting conversations about my mother during that time that we had never had before, that we were free to kind of have. And yes. my grandmother actually said, you know, I don't know that I can ever forgive her. You know, and we were looking to see this beautiful woman, you know, let go of some of this pain. And even at the end of her life, she couldn't. And we respected that.
Yes.
You know, and for us, we worked through a lot just being able to be there with her. Mm-hmm. But she knew it was the end of her life, and she still really couldn't understand some of my mom's decisions or forgive her for it. And she was just very honest. She goes, I don't think I ever can. Because my sister asked her, is there things you want to talk about our mom? Is there things that you feel like you want to let go about mm-hmm. that relationship? Mm-hmm. And she couldn't. And that's where she was.
Right.
You know, and I think that you meet people where they are and
accept it.
Yep.
That's right.
And not every situation has the silver lining of
No.
I think there's a lot more unfinished business than there is people that have a complete reconciliation.
Absolutely.
And amazing, you know, end
Absolutely.
Of life.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom I was young when my mom passed, and I didn't have that closure with her. And it was a beautiful thing. My father had been estranged for many, many years, and a friend really encouraged me to go and have some closure with him when he went onto hospice services. So I went and I met with him for the first time at 38. And going back to when you are in the position to offer some healing for yourself and others, and you have the support system to push you through, it's really humbling. And that, you know, there were almost 25 years in between those two passings. And that tells me that it's never too late. It's never too late for anyone to process and accept situations that they had absolutely no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And incorporating that into their life and enhancing the quality of their life. So we were going to talk a little bit about advanced directive
mm-hmm.
and how we can take ownership of our life and jot it down and say, this is who I want to be making decisions for me. This is how I want to be treated. And the beautiful thing about advanced directives is that they can be changed and altered at any point in time. So it's kind of like a journal of where you are in your life and what it is that you want at this point, because you can go back and alter it and add or take away things that are no longer appropriate.
And those five wishes, can people get that online?
They can. If you actually just Google five wishes advanced directives, I'll give you a whole list.
Mm-hmm.
But what's nice about the five wishes is that it adds a little bit of heart to a legal document that can be pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So you're naming who you want to make health care decisions for you, what kind of medical treatment you do or don't want, how comfortable you want to be. What's interesting for me is that we see patients that have extensive pain, but they don't want to be medicated so much so that they don't know what's going on in the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty satisfied with being at a 6 or 7 out of 10 on the pain scale. How you want people to treat you, whether you want to be left alone, whether you want to have family members surrounding you. A lot of people really withdraw towards the end of their life,
mm-hmm.
and you want to honor that. We've seen quite a few patients have increased levels of anxiety and shortness of breath when their wishes are not being honored. So getting it written down and saying, look, I'm just going to honor their wishes. And then whoever it is that's in that decision-making mode or caregiver mode can really say, I'm really sorry we're not taking visitors during this time because I've had a lot of family members be really upset that they can't visit their loved ones mm-hmm. at the time that's best for them.
And that also having that really does take away that sibling issue.
Correct.
If the sibling comes who's not really close.
Correct.
They can say, hey, it's not me. This is what mom or dad put down. Here's the paperwork.
That's right.
You're welcome to read through it.
That's right.
I might have done things different. You might have done things different. But really to take away that potential animosity between the kids.
Yes.
This will really help that.
Absolutely.
For that one, for that parent. Well, we're going to take our last break and come back with some final thoughts from Candace and I. So stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right here on KCNR 1460.
Anytime you want to, you can tell me anything.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
For some, yard work isn't a chore. It's a passion. If you're someone who loves being outside and takes pride in your lawn, then you need the Honda HRX, one of the most technologically advanced walk-behind mowers on the planet. The HRX features the VersaMow system, a unique 4-in-1 system that lets you bag, mulch, discharge, or shred leaves with no attachments. Then there's Honda's exclusive MicroCut twin blade cutting system, which gives you finer clippings for more bagging capacity, or when mulching, finer clippings that actually help feed your lawn. Plus, the HRX's handle and controls are ergonomically designed to be comfortable on your hands. A limited lifetime warranty on the Nexsight deck and an impressive 5-year limited warranty on the mower make the HRX one of the best values anywhere. To learn more, just visit Honda.com. Better yet, come see the Honda HRX at Lee's Honda, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Serving the North State from the same location since 1967, online at Lee'sHonda.com.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We're in our final segment today. My guest today has been Candace Barker, a master's of social work at Sojourn Hospice. And we've just been chatting about all things aging and dynamics and adult children. And Candace and I were just talking. She can't believe the show's almost over. We were worried about how we're going to fill an hour. I said, it always goes by really fast. It's an organic conversation. So what did you want? What were some of your final thoughts that you wanted to share in this last segment here?
Well, I think for many of us who, I mean, at one point or another in all of our lives, we are caregivers. And some of us turn it into a profession. And it's really, really important to get that self-care, whatever that looks like for you, in. Giving yourself permission to say, look, I need to take a day or an hour or even 30 minutes to take care of myself so that you are feeling transformed and healing alongside your charge.
Well, and I think, you know, there's a great saying, when the oxygen mask comes down, you put one on yourself first.
That's right.
And I say that to families a lot. And
right.
And self-care can be a massage, pedicure, walk.
Right.
Take your dog to the dog park. Get a coffee with a girlfriend. Whatever.
Yes.
For you, that's, it could be sitting
right.
at home, catching up on a show that you haven't watched, or reading for an hour outside. It doesn't have to cost anything.
That's right.
Gardening. Right. Whatever that thing is that feeds your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. This even for me doing it, you know, for 14 years, and the caregivers I have, we have trainings a lot about caregiver health and wellness.
Yes.
And taking care of our psyche. It's a lot, especially if mm-hmm. those family members that are living with someone who has dementia.
Yes.
You're living in their world now.
Right.
And you need to come out of that and be able to escape that and have your time.
Yes.
To work through this process.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I like to say that which is transmitted can be transformed. And sometimes when we're watching someone decline, a lot of us are empathic and we take on a lot of we share a lot of our empathy with others without giving that same level of compassion to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an absolute necessity to prevent caregiver burnout, compassion fatigue, and building up that support system. Some of us really need a lot of alone time to process events. And yoga, meditation, those have been two for me. I've taken up walking. Walking is a really excellent, good morning workout, even at the end of the day. I really encourage caregivers, home-based caregivers, who are the sole caregiver for their loved one, to take 5 minutes and just walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, I mean, May is just right
one of
for
our,
this.
One of our amazing months in Reading.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And so I've really enjoyed watching some of the caregivers over at Oak River taking hikes out into the mountains and through Whiskey Town, Lake. They just, a lot of them have embraced this as part of their self-care,
mm-hmm.
Not only for themselves, but bringing that life back into the dying process. We have a lot to give, and there's a lot of anxiety and emotion that goes along with this work that we do.
Absolutely, and I mean, oftentimes I'm in the home, you know, I'm being called. Mr. Smith is the client, Mrs. Smith is his primary caregiver. And I always look at her or mm-hmm. him and I say, he's getting great care.
Mm-hmm.
Who's taking care of you?
That's right.
You know, and I oftentimes will say, I know there's things that we can do here that you're very capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But let us take on some of this load because we're here as much for you as we are for him.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the kids have reached out to us because they are worried about mom.
Yes.
You know, mom's thinking, oh, I just need some help with him with a shower. It's like, no. And while we're here, why don't you take that walk?
That's right.
Why don't you get
That's
out for
right.
a little bit? You know, you need your time.
And sometimes you need to like force it.
Well, and I'll say if something happens to you, he can't be here.
Right.
Alone. So now you have to take care of yourself because you both are depending on it.
Yes.
You know, and the kids are like, thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a drum they've been beating with mom, you know, because it is oftentimes, I mean, I know there are statistics on that primary caregiver declining quicker and often
yes.
passing away sooner.
Yes.
And I always say, you know, he's getting great care.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to mention is in these end of life scenarios, and a lot of times it's the adult daughter when mom or dad are passing and they're on hospice. It's so easy to put yourself in the caregiver role and escape into that instead of being the daughter.
Yes.
And processing this. And I actually struggled with this a little bit with Graham in that, you know, it's so easy to keep a spreadsheet and write down those meds and keep how long has the repositioning happened and all these things and
mm-hmm.
eating and all this. And then I've seen the daughters, especially if there's any type of social skills, social work skills or medical skills, nurses, it's where it comes natural, right, to do those spreadsheets. Then their loved one passes and they are
lost.
They haven't grieved it. They didn't hold their hand. And so I oftentimes will say, you be the daughter.
Yes.
Let us be the caregiver. Anybody can write down the dose. Anybody can take the notes.
That's right.
Only you can hold her hand. Only you can talk about the past. Only you can go through photo albums.
That's right.
And that's another thing I think is really important to this process, is so that you can really feel through this process. And when they do pass away, that you've embraced that whole thing.
Yes.
And there's so much peace at the other side.
Absolutely.
For the family that do that. And
absolutely,
the ones that kind of get lost in the minutiae of the boxes that are checking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that too?
I have. Mm-hmm. I have. Again, this goes out to the role that the professional caregivers play,
mm-hmm,
in supporting families through, sometimes it's a really long journey. Chronic diseases like COPD and CHF, you can live for a very, very long time. And as you decline, and the need for caregiver support to increase, you do have to make some choices, and self-care is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents don't want to have their children telling them what to do. And you coming in and saying, hey, you need to go for a walk.
Right.
You need to, mm-hmm, practice some self-care, please. Because we're here to support you as a mother and daughter,
mm-hmm,
or a daughter and father.
And I think having these conversations, having this dialogue, and a lot of times, and I said this earlier, when you hear one of your parents gets a diagnosis, it's important to go, what's the prognosis?
Yes.
You know, we have COPD. We're doing fine today. We have oxygen just at night.
Yes.
Right? But that's not where it's going to stay,
right,
most likely. And I think really looking at the prognosis, so you're prepared. You know, we,
yes,
have a diagnosis of congestive heart failure. What does that mean?
Yes.
You know, asking the doctor, what does that mean? What are we looking at long term for my mom or my dad and the care they're going to need? And what are the stages of this so that we can be prepared? You know, when someone gets diagnosed with dementia, eventually that person's probably going to need 24-hour care.
Yes.
They're going to need supervision all the time. Maybe not today, but right, let's look at finances. Let's look at where we're living. Maybe,
yes,
we move closer to our children now before the dementia is so severe that this person can't acclimate to a new place. You know,
yes,
and I think a lot of times we're so busy dealing with the diagnosis that we're not looking to the future of where that's taking,
right,
us and preparing ourselves for that.
Oh,
mm-hmm,
that is a whole nother radio,
yeah,
show.
Well, I'll have to have you come back
then. Okay.
Because I also would love to have you come back and just really focusing on the hospice side.
Okay.
Because I think that, I mean, I have such a heart for hospice. I feel so privileged to be a part of people's lives, to hear the stories, to meet the family. And the dynamics there, I mean, I've had people drinking beers with dad,
mm-hmm,
to watching old movies with dad, to, you know, kids climbing into bed and pets. And
yes,
it's, I've never had a family go through hospice care and have any regrets.
Right.
Much more likely that mom died in a hospital, sterile room with,
yes,
nurses waiting to change the bedding and get the next patient in there.
Right.
That there's not a piece that comes with that. And so I like to educate people a lot on the hospice process and take the fear out of it and the fear out of that word.
Yes.
'Cause someone once said to me, well, what a depressing topic to have. And I'm like, you have got this so wrong.
Oh,
right.
When you actually know how to die, you really know how to live. So
totally true.
Yes.
And, you know, we had candles burning with Graham. We had Nora Jones playing.
Beautiful.
You know, it was like we were escorting her out like a birth.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
We're birthing her into the next stage. Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
For anyone who wants to reach out to your agency, Sojourn Hospice, why don't you give us that number again?
It's 855-472-3892. And thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. This has been a blast. And for those of you that want to listen to the show or have a family member that you think could benefit from it, we do archive all of our shows at generationstalkradio.com. And we are here every Wednesday at 9, right here on KCNR 1460. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Generations Talk Radio. And remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.